we begin with Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry, and he has, he's been in the news the last few days, and he joins us on our live line because, Prosecutor Curry, I understand, that some justice came in a shooting of a tech high school student by, the ex-boyfriend. Good afternoon, Prosecutor.
Good afternoon, Amos.
So what happened today? This was a sentencing or a plea agreement?
There was a sentencing this morning in the matter, and I actually have not been told yet whether that has occurred and it's been completed.
Mm-hmm. But that's something where at least something that was could have been an even worse tragedy than it was, that person will be off the streets.
That's correct. He did enter a plea in that shooting. And fortunately, in that circumstance, obviously, the victim did survive.
So here's the deal, because I understand there's a little disagreement between you and the outgoing Inspector General of Indiana, and this concerns the case of Tony Bennett, where those emails came out more than a year ago, where Tony Bennett, based on some emails, may have allegedly done campaign work using state equipment, state offices, state resources on state time, and some of his other employees in the State Department of Education may have done the same thing. The Inspector General investigated that, delivered a report to the State Ethics Commission. They fined Tony Bennett $5,000 and told him don't send anymore. And now an Associated Press reporter supposedly saw a report by the investigator for the Inspector General that alleges that Tony Bennett and others in the Department of Education may have broken state ghost employment laws and federal wire fraud laws. What is the deal? Did you ever see the stuff? The Inspector General said last night, I guess he's saying again today, that he delivered the stuff to you. Did somebody misplace it and it's in a closet somewhere in one of your offices? What's the deal?
Here's what we know as of now. And we were delivered materials in November that formed the basis of the ethics violations.
And that's November of last year.
Yeah, and we looked at that as well in terms of criminal aspects, and basically it involved emails being sent, emails being received, actually more than ones being sent from the office, incoming emails that were clearly political in nature, as well as entering entries on their calendars that related to political events. And secondly, it wasn't in the materials, but we were aware of the issues regarding the change of grade for the Crystal DeHaan Charter School. We had a deputy prosecutor assigned to that as well as one of the investigators in our office is a detective of the state police, and that detective and our deputy prosecutor were assigned that matter. Looked at that, and we concluded really there was nothing criminal about all that. So it was inappropriate, and obviously it would form the basis of the ethical sanction that was imposed. Then obviously the AP story you've alluded to, we saw, we had no recollection and still have no, although there are emails now that appear to suggest the items were delivered, I have no recollection of ever seeing them. Certainly the deputy prosecutor and the detective have no recollection of ever having seen them. Where they are, we don't know. We'll try and determine. But more of the point, ultimately, we immediately reached out to when we learned that there were, that at a minimum, the feds had been provided with certain additional materials as of February. This was 3 months after we got the materials that I've referred to. As of yesterday, immediately reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office, confirmed that we could have access, and our detective that I mentioned has already made contact with the FBI office, and we'll go review those materials. And then I understand that the Inspector General said, well, they'll send those materials over again. So ultimately, I think it's much ado about nothing. If the materials are there, we'll review them, and we'll make a determination whether it justifies further investigation. But at this point, our investigation had been limited to the two issues that I mentioned.
Let me ask a process question, and this has nothing to do with this case, but this is in general. If, since the Marion County prosecutor by state law is the prosecutor in charge of any alleged wrongdoing by state agencies. If a state agency were to investigate wrongdoing in their agency here in the state capitol and they find something going on and they send you material, wouldn't that material that comes to your office, wouldn't somebody have to, like, sign their life away to receive it, like there's a receipt or something?
Perhaps. At this point, again, because this is all information that's just arisen last day and a half, whether that occurred or didn't occur, I can't speak. When we're trying to determine exactly, you know, what transpired there, but in part, it kind of points up the other issue broader issue that we have with all of this, which is just the creation of the whole Inspector General concept in any event.
Mm-hmm.
Just in a nutshell, the Inspector General was created by statute in 2005 that was pushed by Governor Daniels to create this, you know, what we refer to as a super prosecutor, which, you know, in our mind sort of usurps and circumvents our authority. And, you know, without suggesting, the Inspector General is a governor's appointee, first of all, and even if you assume, and I'll give the benefit of the doubt that they're entirely objective and do their job, you know, unlike any other matter where we will have our input, our ability to sort of monitor an investigation, you know, we're stuck with exactly what transpired here is to wait for some third party to finish whatever they're going to do and then notify us one way or another. In any given investigation, you know, whether it's a drug investigation or white collar crime investigation, you know, we'll be involved in that in terms of, okay, is a search warrant appropriate in this case? If so, we'll write the search warrant. You know, have you interviewed this person, that person? So I honestly think, and I'm, you know, if it was our mistake, then I apologize. We don't know. But nevertheless, you know, I think again, this kind of points up the issue of this Inspector General, and I would hope the legislature would be willing to revisit the whole concept.
Prosecutor Curry, I have talked and interviewed not only with the current Attorney General, but with past Attorney Generals as to whether Indiana's Attorney General ought to have the power to bring criminal prosecutions for state wrongdoing instead of relying on the county prosecutor and the resources of county taxpayers. Let the state's attorney general do that. And I think some attorney generals have been reluctant to go to the legislature for that. The legislature, I think, has been reluctant. Is it time to revisit that? Because it does put a strain on county prosecutors, and obviously Marion County more than others. If there's wrongdoing in the state, the attorney general ought to do that. He's suing everybody else for stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I would not agree with you there.
Okay.
I think clearly by the Constitution, by statute, the ability to prosecute crime that occurs in any given county falls to the county prosecutor, and to the extent state government sits in Marion County, that's appropriate to fall to us. And our complaint here is not that there should be someone else do it. It's just that, the Inspector General, which is different than the Attorney General, as you know, the Inspector General, has this authority by statute, to investigate and then basically refer the matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that that's more appropriate.
Should the statute be written so, let's just say for the sake of the argument, the Inspector General gets a report of some wrongdoing in a state agency, he does his investigation, he looks at it as to whether it violates state ethics rules and goes to the state ethics board, and then when that is done, he turns everything over that he finds over to the county prosecutors, or the county prosecutor looks in to see whether, A, whether there's any criminality in terms of violating the criminal statutes of Indiana that either A, the Inspector General overlooked, or B, does not fit in his purview.
Correct.
So
my response would be that it's fine if their authority is limited to investigating and then prosecuting ethical violations.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of making a judgment call, I think your point just sort of illustrates the problem, and that is currently, you know, someone other than the prosecutor and the prosecutor's office and staff is making a judgment as to what constitutes criminal conduct. And because if the there were certain circumstances that were looked at and made a decision, we have to make that final decision. And I'll give you a perfect example that is an actual circumstance that occurred, is that if you recall, it was about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was a circumstance where two individuals who were State Fair employees were essentially running a hockey school out of the State Fairground. Mm-hmm. And the first we became aware of it was the notice that there had been a resolution with those individuals that they had violated, again, the ethical prohibitions, and there was a sanction imposed, and specifically finding that there was no criminal conduct involved. And that was what the IG entered into this agreement with those individuals. And on its face, it certainly looked like the possibility that it was ghost employment as well as misusing state resources. And, you know, we actually communicated to the IG at that time. It's like, no, you don't make those calls. We make that call. And it puts us then in the awkward position of, well, do we then turn around and prosecute someone who in good faith has negotiated a resolution with their attorney, with the inspector general, and turn around and prosecute them. So.
The other thing is, and I know you and your predecessors have very rarely used the grand jury option, which is an option in this state in terms of criminal matters. Does the inspector general have that authority to go to a grand jury, or if he said, hey, this is something where I want 12 or 24 folks to kind of look over this and see is there enough evidence to warrant a trial, he would still have to bring that to you as the county prosecutor?
Correct. By the statute, you know, they conduct the investigation. They then have the ability, obviously, to file a ethics complaint, which is exactly what was done in the Tony Bennett matter in November of last year is when that was filed, and those are the materials we received is the materials that corresponded with that ethics violation. And then if they believe there's criminal conduct, and that's referred to the county prosecutor. That's what the statute.
In retrospect, should, given the high profile of this particular case, and if the inspector general is correct that he wrote you this letter on February 27th of this year saying he was sending you 95-page report and probably boxes of stuff, should the inspector general have called a press conference or issued a statement saying, okay, I did what I did for ethics with Tony Bennett, but given the questions that have been raised, given the concern, I got all this evidence, I'm sending it to the U.S. attorney, I'm sending it to the prosecutor to look into whether any state or federal laws were violated, then the whole world would have known, hey, I'm done, the clock has now started with Prosecutor Curry and then U.S. Attorney Hogsett. Seemed to me that's what I would have done if I were the inspector general. I told everybody, hey, it's on the way.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, given certainly we don't announce when we're doing any sort of criminal investigations. We have numerous investigations going on at any given time, which we don't put out there. I guess I would ask a different question, which is that if the materials were sent, which they contend they were, and appears perhaps they were, before reaching an agreement in the Tony Bennett matter, which specifically recited that when they did it in July, that there was finding no criminal conduct, then I would have thought there would have been further communication with our office about that particular matter, which there were not. But nevertheless, again, I think it's, you know, it's ultimately much to do about nothing. We will, you know, whatever it is, we will look at it. And I think I said we've already reached out to the FBI to make arrangements to go see what it is was provided to them. And if it justifies further investigation, that's what we'll do. Now, having said that, if we make that decision, we'll probably not call you up, Amos, and tell you we're doing that. But,
because it's under investigation.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Prosecutor Terry Curry, always good to talk to you. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, Amos.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name.